Wonderful to see everybody out this morning. It's always a blessing and encouragement to be able to gather together. Certainly want to welcome out our visitors that are with us this morning, and thank you for being here. We hope that we are an encouragement to you as you have gathered with us, and certainly encouraged by having you here with us this morning. Easter, and we know that many take the time aside at this time point, Friday through today, and remembering on Friday the sacrifice, the death of our Lord and Savior today, and a mindset of remembering the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And we don't necessarily, just because of Easter here, celebrate it in that manner or form, though we do take the Lord's Supper, something we do every first day of the week. And what I'd like to do this morning is go forth and talk about that. Talk about Jesus' death, resurrection, and our salvation. Something in a mindset as we go through the lesson of why it is something we should be thinking about continuously. Something that we should think about throughout our life, every day, every week, every month. Not just once a year, not just every now and then, not just quarterly, or however it is that some may go about in thinking about this time or taking the Lord's Supper and remembering the sacrifice of Christ. Of course, as some stuff we've already done, as Nathan had taken the time to read through Matthew 26, and as we had the mindset and thinking about the sacrifice Christ had made as we took the bread and took the cup, that we've already thought about the process, thought about that sacrifice, and Lord willing, in the right mindset as we did so. But I want to go forward and go ahead and talk about that this morning. And first point, talk about his death. And knowing that it was a great sacrifice, knowing that it was something that it was just hard. As we went through the scripture, you're following along with the chapter each day and daily verses that I try to do every day. Exodus, as you're going through, we got to chapter 29 today, and it talked about the sacrifice, some of the sacrifices that the priest and Aaron and his sons had to make. Again, it's not the prettiest picture as you're reading. And I always get caught up, and you think about the day that it has to be, or the coming to worship, and here it is. They put on these holy garments, the ephod, and the breastplate, and all these different things that they have, you know, God is telling them to make. Of course, this is God speaking to Moses at this time, and what is to take place, and how they're supposed to go about it. But you're going to wear all this nice stuff after they had cleansed themselves, after they washed themselves, and they specifically put on garments just for this. And then you sacrifice that first bull. Then you sacrifice that first lamb. And you start to go forth and start the day off. And so you've got the blood draining, and they're putting their hands in it, and they're taking the blood, and they're sprinkling on it. It's just, it's a mess. It's also the mindset as we sit back and think what we're supposed to be thinking about as we think about our Lord and Savior every first day of the week and what He had done for us. It was a messy day. His death wasn't a pretty thing. You know, one of the things that, again, I know it's spring and it's Easter and we want to put on our spring colors and the brightness, but all honestly, when we take time to think about the death of our Savior is a messy sacrifice that He had made for us. Here in Matthew 27 and verse 26, Matthew 27 and verse 26, here it says, "Then they released from for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered Him to be crucified." Again, just starting off with this one verse here, and I mean, I could honestly leave the rest out. I'm just taking the time to think about Jesus being scourged, Jesus being put in a position where people are taking these fashioned whips that have bones and sharp things on the end of them to continuously hit him and beat him and open up his flesh. And the blood that was being poured out, the sacrifice, again, was more than Jesus dying for us. He was scourged and did not give in to threatening. Again, as you go to Peter and telling us that we are given an example to follow in his footsteps, when it was reviled and not reviled in return, when it was beat and not threatened, when it was hurt, he was faithful in all things. And this had to be a tough situation in which he could at any moment call 12 legions of angels, and that he could have just put an end to it instantly as he was beat one time after another, and just left, again, a bloody mess. But it didn't stop there. He was led to be crucified. And so if you pick up in verse 27, it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole platoon before them, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him." Again, just stop there and think about what Jesus had just went through. Anyone who's had a good wound, somewhere where you have to change your clothes and stuff, and when you're very careful to remove it, and you barely touch it, and the pain just by touching certain wounds, just inflict the pain again. It's all reoccurring. And again, you're thinking here, Jesus wearing these garments has been beat, has been scourged, and then they remove the garments, and I don't believe these Roman soldiers were being gentle with him. Then they put on other garments, just so that they could mock him. And again, you continue in verse 29, it says, "And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put the reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of Jews,' and they spit on him. And they took a reed and struck him on the head, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." Again, so they put the garments back on, that it was continuously moving, and again, just in all these open wounds that he had had. And then a crown of thorns being placed on his head, and then they struck him, and they beat him, and they mocked him. Such a sacrifice needs to be remembered more often. Such a sacrifice needs to be on our minds at all times. Every day that we are able to wake up knowing that we have hope in Christ, that we have grace through Jesus, that we have salvation, that we have a home in heaven because of what he has done for us. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement and brought us peace in his wound. And with his wounds we are healed." Again, just what Christ went through. And yet, people think it's okay to just go a whole year without taking time to stop and think about it. What he has done for us, or just to have to think about it quarterly, or just whatever you feel like. Why is this not something we give God thanks for and apologize that he had to go through for every day? Every day. Because every day as we face temptation, and from time to time we give in to that temptation, that is why he went through this for you and I. But he didn't only die, he did resurrect. He did come back. And again, that's the power of our Lord and Savior, the thankfulness that he is, has victory over death, spiritual and physical. Gives us hope. Knowing that he didn't just suffer, die, and Satan was victorious, but Jesus was victorious. Our God was victorious as he came back to life. And in Matthew 28 and in verse 6, Matthew 28 and verse 6, he says, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay. Again, here they come, they look for him. They come and seek out, where is our Lord and Savior? An angel speaking to him, he's not here. Matthew 28 and verse 9, it says, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. Go to Galilee, and there they will see me. That's just again, Jesus resurrected. I mean, they saw him die. They saw him on the cross. Before that, being scourged, being led down the street, being nailed to the cross, pierced in the side. He's dead. And yet, here the tomb is empty. Someone says that he is risen, and so you could try to tell others, but you still don't know. You're just unaware, and so he appears to you. And he says, don't be afraid. Go and tell the others. Luke 24, again, it's just the resurrection. Think about what it's saying here, that Jesus came back. In Luke 24, and verse 38, it says, and he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Such power. Such hope. Is again something that we shouldn't just think about from time to time. But as we think about Jesus' death and his sacrifice, and then we can't go on without thinking he resurrected them. He showed us that he has power over such things. He showed us that we can have hope in him to live eternally one day. To ourselves one day be without having to continue in this life. He resurrected in John chapter 20 and verse 27. Again, just a few examples that we read about and mentions of these situations here. Matthew 20 and 27 here, it says, then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Again, and as we think about that statement, my Lord, my God, it's not a statement just for every now and then. The faith that we need to have is that he is our Lord and our God every day. That sacrifice is so that we can be ready any day. Every day, every moment. And that we can always go to God in prayer. That we can always have our Lord and Savior as our mediator. That we can always go through Him. Something we are blessed with every day. Every time that you're in a situation and needing assistance from up above, He is there. Our Lord and God always. And yet, some only think about it for a time. It's something we need to be thinking about. Just think about the miracle that was performed here. What has been done here. And what that should do for us each and every day. Give us hope each and every day. It doesn't matter what situation we're in today, how bad life might be, how much you might be struggling. Think about who your Lord is. Think about the power He has. And how that should give you hope. And now that should give you assurance for tomorrow. And again, the salvation that comes through it. As we talk about Jesus' death and resurrection, talk about the blood that was shed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Here making mention, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. It is through His blood, again, that we receive that forgiveness. Hebrews 9, verse 14. I want to bring these verses out as we look at the next verses following me to point out how it is His sacrifice, His blood, that goes into our salvation and how it is we reach that today. In Hebrews 9 and in verse 14, here it talks about, it says, "For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all people, He took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, sprinkled both the book itself to all people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you.'" I'm reading way further down. Verse 14 says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And so, as it reads here, brings out that through, again, His blood, through Christ's sacrifice, we have that clear conscience. Why? Because it is through His blood that we receive that forgiveness of sin, that we gain that hope of eternal salvation, eternal home in heaven. And so, looking at those two verses and relate them over to Acts 2 and verse 38, and in Ephesians, it talked about redemption. It talked about forgiveness. And so Acts 2 and verse 38, here it reads, it says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Again, so the forgiveness of sin. Well, Ephesians 1 said it was by the blood, and here it says it's by being baptized. And so where do we reach the blood of Christ? It is when you are baptized into Christ. And we reach the blood of Christ, that the blood washes your sin away. And that's why we can use Mark 16:16 and clearly say, "He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." Because one who does not believe, and they are immersed in the water, you don't believe the blood of Christ is doing nothing. Because it's by your faith that Jesus died and resurrected, that Jesus' blood washes your sin away. It's not that we have some of His blood inside of His water. It's by our faith that these names take place. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, 1 Peter 3 and in verse 21. Turn along with me there. Again, Hebrews talked about having that clear conscience, that good conscience. Here it speaks of how we gain that. Again, 1 Peter 3, verse 21 says, "Baptism which corresponds to this now saves you, not as removal of the dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism now saves. The answer to our clear conscience, to be good, knowing that we have made it right with God. Not that we've paid Him back, not that we've done enough to pay off our debt. This is how we obey Him. This is how we give ourselves over to Him. This is how you get your clear conscience. By being baptized. And again, why? Because of your faith in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And that's why we always extend the Lord's invitation in Romans chapter 6, because baptism, it comes down to baptism relating to His death, burial, and resurrection, as we read here in Romans 6. In Romans 6, and you read here in verse 3, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized?" It says, don't you understand? Don't you know that everyone who is baptized, you are baptized into Christ's death? And so even if you've been saved already, why isn't this something we want to remember every day? That He died for us, and that is how we are saved. And verse 4 says, "We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." for we have been united with him in death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We have been blessed again that Jesus died, that he resurrected, because our baptism is tied to that. Our salvation is tied to it. Something we should never do. Something we should continuously be thinking about from day to day. And why I'm here, I'm going to start into my next point. Starting into the next couple points, actually. As we look at this, actually, we're going to come back to this. Remembering Christ's sacrifice. I know I ain't got an entire point. Remembering Christ's sacrifice again as we've just done in the Lord's Supper. Nathan had read in Matthew 26. It's mentioned again in Luke 22 as the Lord institutes the Lord's Supper. As he takes the cup and tells them to divide it among themselves, then he blesses the bread and they break it and they take it and he says, "This is in remembrance of my body." Then he takes the cup and they take it in remembrance of one. Why do we do this? Again, something should be on our mind every day. Why we take the memorial, this Lord's Supper, every week is the proved example we have in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7. Acts 20 and in verse 7. As it reads here, it says, "On the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart the next day, to prolong the speech until midnight." And so here we see the example that they gathered on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper. And it's something, again, that we should always keep in mind every day. But it's something, as we look at the example, is given to us to do it every week, is take the Lord's Supper. Make sure that we take the time aside, fully take time aside just for that. Remember that sacrifice. And again, who's to take it? Why we take it? We're supposed to keep a good mindset as we take it, making sure we take it in a worthy manner. In 1 Corinthians 11, again, if you go to verse 23, you're going to start reading about the what we read in Matthew and in Luke as the Lord instituted it. But in verse 27, it says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you who are weak and ill, and some have doubted." As it goes forth, it makes the point of making sure we take it in a worthy manner. Again, just the point that we, again, the world has made, again, a day in which they say, well, this is when we're going to remember the sacrifice of Christ. And then they add to it by getting everybody else's mindset on everything, on finding the Easter eggs, on finding the bunny, and on coloring the bunny and the coloring pages, and again, I don't care if you want to dress up and you like making sure I was wearing my spring colors. But your mindset, when we're gathered together and remembering the sacrifice of Christ, needs to be focused on one thing and one thing only. About what he has done for us and how he has forgiven your sins. We have to keep our minds focused on that. And that's what we need to be teaching our children as they grow up. And then hopefully, if they haven't obeyed the gospel yet, that they do obey the gospel. But they need to get in the routine of thinking about this sacrifice. When we're taking the Lord's Supper, tell them, hey, think about what Jesus did. Think about Jesus on the cross. We want to make sure we take it in a worthy manner. We don't want to cause judgment on ourselves. So what do we do with this good news that we have?
Let go and teach it to others.
In Matthew 28, as he has resurrected and he's with his disciples, he's went and shown himself to many. Here he's about to ascend into heaven. Since all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, go.
Go
and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have.
We are to go and teach it to others.
Go spread the good news. Again, not just once a year, go on, let others know. Again, think about what the news is. Why would we wait? Well, you know, it's not that time of year to invite anybody to church. It's not that time of year to go around and make sure my neighbors are going to be at church this Sunday. I've had that. I've had people come and knock on the door. Well, at least you're going to be at church this Sunday. But why is it just this Sunday that we are concerned? Why is it just this one day we want to make sure people are thinking about God? We should be thinking about them continuously throughout our lives, every single day, going and trying to help others see the truth. In Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, if you will. Luke 24 and verse 46, it says here, and he said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and or forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So here he goes forth and says, why? So that we can go forth and proclaim the sacrifice that Jesus made, the resurrection that he had done. And I said I'd turn back to Romans 6, and that's what I'm going to do. Because as you look at Romans 6, we ask, what are we supposed to do with all this news? What are we supposed to do every day? We're supposed to walk in that newness of life that it had started to talk about. So turn back with me. We kind of ended, I believe, in verse 6. We pick up in verse 7. It says, for one who had died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For death he died, and he died to sin once for all, but life he lives to God. Put to death the old person, resurrected him. So as Christ has died, we come into that newness of life. And we're to stay away from sin. Encourage others to do the same. Shine his light today. Again, so I just encourage with the lesson this morning. Don't let us get in the habit of just forgetting about the sacrifice of Christ until next year, until next week. Let us remember it. Every day is God may bless us to wake up, to live a life upon this earth. To remember that he gave his son down to die for you. And so therefore, we wake up every morning with that mindset saying, I do not want to give into temptation because God loves me so much he gave his only begotten son. I want to live with him one day. I want to ascend into heaven. So we extend the Lord's invitation this morning to any who need to be baptized, to be spiritually buried with Christ and spiritually resurrected with him in you, so that you have that hope. If you're here, you need to encourage the congregation. If there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as the stand.